for the players.
I think that's the theory anyway.
Should work. I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culture PlayStation podcast for 40 years of playing PlayStation and 20 plus years in this game. No, wait. Either way, it's a long ass time in the games media combined. I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. Like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below. Are we swapping? Are we blue skying?
I have one, but I'm not going to do anything with it. But if you want to join us as the conversation happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, scroll the comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popculture.com/shop. Where you can buy shirts and other assorted shit with our logos on it. Now, Max, I feel compelled to sort of, you know, address the delay. Like, hey, we've been away, you know, we're a day late in the show. But instead, I have much more important matters to discuss.
Doubtful, but go on.
We have new bird friends. To me, that's very important, Max. So for those that are playing at home, you will know that for the last handful of years, I have developed quite a strong bird trauma after getting my shit kicked in by a plover in like the back end of 2020, 21, somewhere around there. 2020, I think it was. Yeah, it wasn't very fun. It was horrible. And as a result, like, I have been very anti-bird since. Not onto the angle of, like, you know, birds aren't real, because they are, and one tried to fuck me up. But, you know, I've been very hesitant. And I love how you're laughing, because it is a funny story.
No, I'm not even laughing at your story.
Oh, boo. Are you being distracted by Facebook again?
I may or may not have been sent a funny Diddy meme again.
Oh, the Diddy memes are next level. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, so I've been dealing with this whole bird trauma. And as a result, I've been very like, you know, fuck birds, dumb, don't care, don't like them. However, I did have some friendly magpies at my old house. And I was really sad to see them go, because they were really nice and chill, and they would come and wander around, and they weren't even scared of you. Also, magpies are the mortal enemy of the plover, which is the best thing in the world. So, on the weekend, I heard, like, this bird gone ballistic in the courtyard. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Go out there, and it's a little baby magpie and a daddy magpie, and he's, like, looking for stuff to feed the bird. Now, granted, after the housewarming party we had, Max, we left a bunch of shit just on the... Like, someone dropped a thing of olives, so we just left it on the grass. I'm like, something will eat it. Turns out the answer is magpies. So we've been friendly with the magpies. We started feeding them. And then they, you know, they showed zero fear in us as humans. I'm like, that's kind of cool. So then we put it to the test, and my partner Phoebe would just see, like, can we hand feed them? And we totally could, which tells me that, you know, except I think I may have talked about this on the show before, but we, you know, we're the first people to ever to rent this house aside from the owners who lived in it for like 40 years. So I have a feeling there is generational support of these birds. Cause yeah, they gave no shits, and it was lovely, and it was awesome. So we went out and I bought them some proper food yesterday. When they came around today, they didn't like it, which means I may have prepared it wrong. But they may have also just been spoiled from the mince and stuff we gave them the other day, because it's not mince, but I don't know how to make it. Apparently mince is not very good for them, Max. But in short, I haven't heard any plovers in the last like week, which is a good sign, because working from home, you know, I don't go anywhere. And then to hear plovers like flying around my house, dive bombing, squawking. I'm having like Vietnam flashbacks all the time at my desk, and it's horrible. But now I don't hear it. It's the best. It's so fantastic. And that's a great story for me. I felt the need to share that. It's absolutely not a relevant story in any sense, but There was a sound that you heard, Max, last night that wasn't very good. It was the sound of your child vomiting directly into their iPad.
Mm, yeah, that was fun. So we went to the pool yesterday.
We did.
And Hadley's like, watch me swim underwater. I'm the best at swimming underwater. I'm a fucking mermaid. And drank all the gross.
And then proceeded to chug like a liter of pool water.
Yeah.
So and then she comes down. She's like, we're having a discussion because she kept coming up to me and being like, "Hey, do you want to like watch me do this thing?" I'm like, "Sure." She's like, "Do you know I can breathe underwater?" I'm like, "No, you can't."
Yeah.
She was adamant she could drink under the water. I'm sorry. She was adamant she could breathe under the water, and then she realized she had to drink it, and then nearly vomited in the pool. So that was a good sign.
Yeah. So she's feeling a bit under the weather. She was throwing up all last night. She's unfortunately still throwing up today. She crashed at like this afternoon at some point. She's just been asleep for so long. Yeah. So that was the cause of the delay. I messaged you last time. Like, hey, I'm not doing it.
Yeah,
you can do it tomorrow.
You're like, I don't want to do it. There's vomit everywhere and I have to go to work now. I'm like, okay.
We'll start this trend early because apparently we're going to be recording Mondays for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, so it turns out that like I had like for the next, I don't know, 6 weeks, five of them, I have wrestling shows and I think at least two of them, I'm doing a Saturday and a Sunday show. One of them I'm doing a Friday and a Saturday. So a lot of wrestling this month. It's going to be very exhausting. I'm probably just going to collapse and die. However, that does mean I won't have any shows from like late November or at least the beginning of December through until late January, maybe early February, which is great because then we'll have our, 2 weeks or so off over Christmas and New Year. And then I don't have to like go anywhere or do anything, which is big fan of that just all the time. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. What else has been happening?
Not much.
What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? Hey, you're getting all ahead of me. I'm not leaving like timestamps and stumps. What have I been playing? So one thing I have been playing, Max. So we talked about this last week, and we'll like, now we'll get the we'll re-share the custody of our VR. So you've had your run with it. You smashed Max Mustard and really enjoyed it. It came back to me and like I had just been, we had just been provided a code for Arizona Sunshine. Cause when it came through, I was like, oh yeah. Cause they'd announced the remake. I was like, oh man, this is by far one of the most successful VR titles to ever hit the PlayStation. If you look at any of the, top selling charts or whatever, Arizona Sunshine is consistently in those charts. And I thought, well, why the hell have I never played this? So when the opportunity came to check out the remake, I was like, yes, please. So Arizona Sunshine is a PSVR2, or the remake, I should say, is a PSVR2 game. It is a zombie game where you play a gentleman. The story itself doesn't seem very prominent at the moment. But I played for like, I don't know, an hour or so because it's VR and I hadn't played in so long. I was like, oh, I'm going to like be careful because I could like vomit any moment. So anyway, Azure and Sunshine, it's a zombie game. It's a, completely free roam hand game. So the idea is, of at least so far, is just progress through levels to get to an end goal. The zombies are in the way. Fight them as you see fit. Therefore, Max, it is predominantly like a gun game. It's all about shooting. So you'll have in the game itself, you've got your little belt. You have all your ammo stocks in front of you in like little satchels, which that you have to reach through. And you've got two guns on either hip, and then your back for a larger gun, whether it be a rifle or a shotgun or a machine gun or whichever. So yeah, and then as you go throughout the levels, you'll find new guns. You'll pick them up and add to them. In true VR fashion, all of it is work. So you pull the gun from your hip, you've got to press the button to eject the mag, put the mag in, cock it back, and all of that, which just adds to the immersion of the game, which I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy. At the moment, it isn't too intense in its experience. Because as obviously I'm in those like first two-ish levels, three-ish levels. Zombies tend to come at you pretty slow and lumbering, which I appreciate, especially in VR, because last thing you want to do is be whipping around, shooting up the joint, or John Wick style, unless you want to vomit and cover not just your iPad, but your entire kitchen and or lounge room or wherever the hell you end up playing VR and running around.
VR in the kitchen.
Well, I may just like whip that VR off and try to run to the nearest sink and then blah, 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 my kitchen just gets obliterated. So yeah, they come at you reasonably slow, but they'll come from all directions, which is it can be intense, but it's not overwhelming until they get up close to you. Like once they get within like reaching distance or just out of your wingspan, like it gets gnarly really quick because you're seeing, you know, full scale heads getting up in your face. But like I find the tracking to be really reliable, so I can kind of just go pang, 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 you know, whoop, pop, pop, pow. That's all my gun noises that I've been making when I play the game. The game doesn't make those noises. I do, because I feel like it's important to make the noise when you're playing the game. But there's a bunch of other different interactive things within the game as well. So one of the areas that you first play in, there's a bunch of cars and you can open the doors of the cars. You can look inside, you can open the boot. So this is where you'll find little collectibles and ammo and other weapons. So that's kind of fun to feel like a more interactive world. What else is there? I found other various weapons like a crowbar. I found a shovel. And the shovel was awesome. I was like, what I can do with this? And I let a zombie get it, like, you know, a good hunk close to me. Swung it in, you know, full hopes of, like, maybe I'll lodge it in their head. But I aimed a little low. And I straight decapitated that thing with the shovel. Head goes airborne, lands on the ground. I'm like, that's crazy. Wonder if I can pick it up. Because it looked interactive. Pick the head up. And it was like, you know, all those horrible cartel videos you see on Twitter when you don't want to. It's like someone holding a head that's been removed from a corpse. I'm like, that's insane. And I was like, wonder if I can like, you know, the jaw. So I did. I started bumping the jaw and I had full physics as I'm swinging around in my hand. And just an unnecessarily cool little feature. But then by extension, you've got I had the shovel, wang some other zombies with it. And like they have, you know, buildable damage, like it'll shake a big chunk of their head out, or it'll hit them in the chest and leave a big wound. The game is, by design, violent, as it should be, because it's what it is, but it's not so abhorrently violent, like you're not going to hear a bleh and then get, like, blasted. It's like a hard cartoon violence, almost. So it's not confronting, you know. My kid loves playing VR. Am I going to let them play Arizona Sunshine? No, not at all. But I'm going to play it and thoroughly enjoy it. Have you checked it at Arizona Sunshine out in the past at all?
No, not at all.
Has it, catch your interest?
My OG PSVR extent was like rhythm shooters or rhythm slashers, I guess you could call Beat Saber.
Oh, yeah, and there was, like, Autica, and that was a ton of fun as
well. Yeah, Autica, which was, you know, Beat Saber, but guns.
Any questions about the game?
I love a good butt with guns. I look forward to playing it when I get custody back.
Oh, because, yeah, well, I gotta run through this, I was
like, I was, like, this close. To being like, oh, no, I forgot the VR. Oh, no.
And I'll be like, all right, let's bring in this next time you come around. But then my son was able to play some Horizon again this weekend, and he took it on, and he beat the Thunderjaw. Like, he's way further in Horizon than I ever got from, like, the Call of the Mountain. Way further. Yeah, and he beat the Thunderjaw, and he was so proud of himself. And he was like, I felt his chest, and his heart was like, like he was living. He was living that Kaja life, taking on that Thunderjaw. It was fantastic. But yeah, I'll have more to say about Arizona Sunshine remake as we keep going. Hopefully this week I'll spend some time with Max Mustard as well, because now that it's set up and in the new house, I've rejiggered the play area, which is rad. It's not quite as the good play area at the old place, because I have one of those L couches. It's kind of in the way. So either I get a USB-C extension cable, which allows me to get a little bit away from the console and off to like a side area, or I could just move one of the couches and the coffee table, but that seems like a lot of effort. And what I want, Max, is I want the least amount of barriers of entry to playing VR, because I feel that is the thing that stops me every time, is that, it's slightly more work than I want it to be. What have you been playing, though?
I get that. I have been playing, I was going to say one game earlier, but that's just a complete lie. I've been playing Black Ops 6.
Yeah. So Black Ops 6 came out this week, which is intriguing in and of itself, because it's reviewing reasonably well.
Yeah, yeah. It's getting like nines for its campaign. Not that all of it.
And which is bizarre, because the campaign has been the thing that's most consistently kind of poos, at least the last couple of years.
I mean, I haven't checked out the campaign. I am here for one thing and one thing only, and that's to shoot zombies.
Which is funny, because that's the exact same thing I did this week, so that's good. That's lovely.
So they've, despite multiple interviews where, I can't think of the gentleman's name who works at... For the Black Ops people, who's like, we are not, the two zombie storylines will never converge, and somehow they've converged. So I don't know if they're like just ignoring him or they're retconning all that nonsense. But there are things from both zombie storylines that are in these new levels.
Mm-hmm.
So at launch, there are two levels. Terminus, which is a bunch of little mini islands, and the other one, Liberty something, which is like a little town. And each one, as all the other zombie maps have had in the past, they have their overarching story, big Easter egg thing that you can do.
Has all the Easter eggs and stuff been discovered? Like, is it, cause normally, you know, those that are really in the zombies community is getting quick.
They're already up step by step, ready to go.
Jesus.
They will be launching guided mode soon, which literally has like waypoints on the map to show you exactly what you got to do.
Okay.
If you don't want to have to like follow a guide or try and figure it out yourself, which is fine. It's a new style of zombies, so it's not you have a loadout. You can bring your own weapons in if they're leveled up. You can have an advantage from the start, so you can bring in a weapon with, you know, all the perks and stocks and barrels and all that other fun stuff that you can add to your weaponry in Call of Duty. Bring those in, start from. and do all that stuff.
You do a Drake, you can start from the bottom and then you're here.
Yeah. And because it is
started from the bottom, now the whole team fucking here. Because I presume you're playing with mates, yes?
Yeah.
So the whole team is fucking here. Yeah.
It levels up all your weapons across like multiplayer as well as zombies. So if you're not a big multiplayer fan, or you don't want to deal with like the abhorrent sweaty players that I would imagine are in it now that there's omnidirectional sprinting and movement and everything's changed.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a moment, because I want to hear your thoughts.
But it's all happening. But these two maps leave something to be desired. They are not the funnest of launch maps that we've had in the past.
Oh.
They're fine. They seem more bland than other maps, and there's a lot more like tight enclosed spaces, and there's just way more zombies than I ever remembered.
Well, I assume with the advantage of as the series has progressed and they've got these more powerful consoles, they've intentionally wanted to load it up with the zombies, right? So is this a circumstance of we've got all this space, got this power? That's low.
I would imagine so.
But then in the same thought, why then scale back the complexity of the level?
Yeah. I mean, you know, new systems, new movement, new zombies. Like, generally, the first few maps are less complex than those DLC maps that come out.
Oh, okay, well, if it's a common thing, once again, I haven't played zombies in years. Is it so you can learn how, you know, because obviously with the range of zombies, they come at different speeds and attacks, etc.?
Well, no, I don't think there's any new zombies that we haven't seen before. They've changed up, like, you know, there's no longer dog rounds. They're like little spider wankers now, which is fine. They've brought back like the mini boss zombies, so that you've got the Mausers from the last one has come back. So he's picture like a Big Daddy.
Oh yeah,
from BioShock. I think the Amalgam is new, so it's kind of like this creepy, multi-headed, multi-limbed, creepy fucker that grabs you and tries to eat you. But For the most part, all the like the zombie specific perks are the same. So you still got your Juggernog, your Speed Collar, all that stuff. They've added a new one called something. Essentially, just gives you like a super punch, which is fine. It's nothing too terribly exciting. But the way they've changed it up this time is in the previous game, you had essentially like super weapons or special abilities you could use as you killed zombies. I think they were called like field something. But they changed the way how you gain, how you level those up. So in the last game, you would have to extract with, I think it was Ethereum or whatever that purple crystal nonsense was that you were collecting. In this one, you have to research them one at a time, which is really shit, because each perk and each field upgrade has like six upgrade points on its upgrade tree. So to upgrade them all is going to take fucking ages, because you can only do one at a time. Which on one hand, I understand if like you're having a really ripper run and you're like 100 plus rounds, you could theoretically knock it out in one go.
Wait, what?
But at the same time,
I've never made it past like, I don't know, 14 rounds in zombies at my best. How the fuck would you get to 100?
Well, I mean, for a start, you can now if you're playing solo, you can save it. So
most
of the time, I die because I get bored. I'm like, okay, I'm done with this now, and okay, I'll just quit. I'll let myself be killed. We'll do one of those. Let's do a final stand, and we'll stand in one room and see how long we can survive before we just overrun. So having the ability to be like, I'm gonna save this and pick it up later. But as every Call of Duty game does, it's fucking riddled with bugs and exploits, especially in zombies. So in the new map, there's two really easy exploits that just make you immune. That just makes you immune to zombies. So if the amalgam grabs you as you rappel up a rappel point, you just become immune to all zombie damage and they just don't attack you.
Is it a hard thing to replicate?
No, not at all.
You just wait and go.
Not at all. But the easier method is if you grab the new perk that gives you a super punch, you can just punch a boat up onto the map and block yourself in against a wall and stand behind the boat and the zombies can't climb over it. Because it's classified as a vehicle, not a mountable object for them.
Okay.
So you can just stand behind it, and if you set it up properly, you have an ammo crate beside you, so you can just permanently buy ammo. And the zombies can't attack you because they're on the other side of the boat, so they can't reach you to smack you. And you're not considered out of bounds, so they don't use their ranged weapons, so they don't like pull their flesh off their bodies and throw it at you. So you can just stand there forever, just shooting zombies, getting infinite XP, leveling up all your guns. Someone's clearly done it, because they've got the Dark Matter camo in under 24 hours from launch, and that's like get master on every single weapon.
The thing that always fascinates me is when you hear about exploits and things like this, because even when they're discovered, I never do them, mostly because I'm lazy.
What, you never thought to punch a boat out of water onto land and then just stand there? Like, that's just...
No, but I mean, like, in general, and they're like, hey, this is cool exploit, they'll give you a bunch of XP. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it. But even when it's like, I think there was a Pokemon glitch once that you could do it, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not going to do that.
You're like, you've never Ray Candy glitched? What's wrong with you?
Well, it's never cared enough. Because, like, the idea of exploiting the game just doesn't sit with me. Like, not in like a moral way. I'm not like, you're cheating, because that's dumb. But it's just more of a, if I'm going to play it, I'm just going to play the fucking game. And then if it gets hard, then it's the game's fault and
like,
I quit.
You've never played like Grand Theft Auto with cars fly on? You've never like had fun with games?
Well, that's different. I'd finished, I'd completed the game at that point, so then I buggered ass around. Cheat codes are different. Glitching the game to an exploit where you have to do all this extra bullshit, where I can just put a code in and I get tanks and stuff, big win. I love that. But even then, like there have been times where I've done runs of Grand Theft Auto with like, I can't die. And like, you know, the idea in terms of a more realistic run of GTA, I used to do this on PS2 all the time, which coincidentally, 20 years ago, San Andreas came out, first game I ever did this on. Whereas like, I'm going to play the entire game without dying. And if I died, I'd go back to the load and I'd try again. But even then, like, that's kind of cheating, because I still did die. But I never did the full, like, what was it in Pokemon? The Nuzlocke, where, like, you're dead, you're dead. Yeah, I've never done that. I'd be like, no, I need to finish. Like, I want, when I finish this game, I want to look at my stats, or at least finish the campaign, look at the stats and see zero deaths. But
oh, so save scumming's okay, but
yes, save scumming's fine.
Okay, cool.
Well, I'm not breaking the foundations of the game. I am once again, that's the exact same as what we're discussing, manipulating the. But saves are different. Saves within my control. Oh fuck, it's all within my control, isn't it? That's why games work. I don't have an answer.
I just anyway, all the directional movement is cool.
Oh yeah.
It's fucking super sweet being able to like strafe and sprint at the same time. Love it.
Well, because the problem that I always had is like you can run forward and then you just go when you want to go in any other direction. So like anytime, like that's where I would always get wrecked in multiplayer is because I run forward and the second that I turn, I just like and become the $8 million man or whatever.
See, the problem is you also play on like 2 sensitivity. So it takes you ages to spin around.
It's more like 4.
If you play it on high sensitivity, you don't slow down because you just spin on the spot real quick.
No, thank you.
And then vomit.
Yeah, I was going to say. But yeah, so you're actually as in like, so you can kind of do all 8 points of direction sprinting.
Yeah.
Okay. How has that been sweated on so far?
Well, I don't know. I haven't played multiplayer, but it's really good in fucking zombies. Because it allows you to run around them super quick without getting fucking jacked or stuck in tight spots. Because you can kind of sprint backwards and take like a back step real quick and leg it if you have to. But I've seen some of the trick shot montages that people are already coming out with. And the movement looks fucking dumb.
Like, have you seen those ones where people like flick the mouse and they go... I'm like, how can you play like this and not have like some sort of brain deficiency?
Hacks. They're using auto aim so they can just spin their camera around however they want to because it doesn't matter.
But once again, why cheat in a multiplayer game? What is the benefit to you? Congratulations, you are better at something that is literally irrelevant.
To some people, that's all that matters.
Let me reaffirm my brain deficiency.
I saw a funny post. They're like, what was it? We need 2 lobbies in Call of Duty. We need the lobbies for people who don't have jobs.
Yeah.
And we need the lobbies for people who are like parents that work full time.
Yep.
That don't have to deal with these assholes that play 18 hours a day.
Yeah. And absolutely. Like as someone that is employed and also has a child, just like yourself, there was a window, even when we played a lot of Call of Duty back in the day, like back in the PS3 times, we were both working then too.
Yeah.
So like we spent a lot of time in Call of Duty and I didn't get much better. But yeah, every time that we could, I think this might have been Black Ops 3 or Modern Warfare 3, one of the two.
Mm.
Or Modern Warfare 3, I think. When it came out and within a week, I'm already like, this is fucking dumb. Like, everyone on here is an idiot. And I can't play with them. Because, like, me with my old man reflexes at 23 was having a real rough time. So here I am. And I'm 35 next week, Max. And do you think my reaction times have gotten better? No. They've gotten staggeringly worse.
Funny that.
But then again, now that I'm very aware of my brain being dumb, maybe... in peak Ritalin time, which is very inconvenient because it's like 1 in the afternoon when I'm working, that I can't like fully take advantage. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll be really good at Call of Duty.
Take lunch break.
Well, I do play games on my lunch break, but it's almost like Trading Card Game Simulator, which is not very helpful because I don't need to use all the brain power. But that's kind of the point. I want my lunch break to go, still receive the stimulus that makes my ADHD happy, but like not so cognitively intense that I'm like... after my lunch break. I used to play DMZ a lot on my lunch breaks. That's what I used to
do. Dude, DMZ was so good.
Fuck, I miss DMZ.
I'm so angry that they stopped updating them.
So, final question, and I do believe it is the most important question about Black Ops before we jump into what else we've been playing. Are they still Nazi zombies?
Yes.
Oh, good. I just wondered, because it's like, it's referred to as zombies now. It's no longer referred to as Nazi zombies. I assume, are they concerned that the Nazis would be offended? Because fuck them, but...
concerned that the Nazis really made zombies? I don't know.
Yeah, no.
And the other game I'm playing, obviously, is still Metaphor ReFantazio. I am now like 30 hours deep. I have been getting up all of my royal qualities are now at level 4. I think the max is 5. So I'm killing those personal attribute traits.
Mm-hmm.
My royal virtues is what they're referred to as in this game.
Suddenly got really bright in here. Like, nothing changed, but I got really...
nothing changed. The story is going some places. I still haven't met everyone. So, when you have your own free time, one of the keys you can push opens up all of the... essentially, all of your allies who you are linked to progress your your social points with them. Unlock more of the archetype tree and all that fun stuff. But I've still got a few question marks, so there's still people that I haven't met yet, because I'm still kind of still pretty early in the bloody game, to be honest. So essentially, as I mentioned last week, they're trying to find the new ruler by essentially public opinion. I am now ranked 20th.
I'm 20th. Don't ask the public. Public suck.
Well, yeah, I know, right? there are a lot of horrible fucking people in this game.
Well, because I was going to say, like, one of the big things that I heard about is this is not like heavy-handed, but he's certainly really hitting the racism or angle, as in, like, it's essentially a big allegory for racism.
Yeah, and there's definitely a group of people that are basically the Catholic Church that are also kind of terrible.
Good, because the Catholic Church is terrible. Sorry. I'm glad they nailed it.
Yeah. But again,
like, when I played the prologue, you walk up and someone just starts calling you a slur. Like, immediately. I was like, okay, I know what this game is. Like, yeah, you haven't even revealed the main character yet. And you're just like, your little cart or whatever gets pulled up, and some guy's like, "Do you have any of those?" Blah. He sees you and he's like, "You," and says slur, and then like,
and then you get thrown off a cliff.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah, a lot of people are just real pieces of shit in this world, much like this world.
Yeah, enjoying it though, unlike this real world.
It is so good. It really is really good. And because it doesn't have that fantastical style that like Persona or SMT did.
Do you mean like the real exaggerated, amplified sort of feeling? Yeah. Okay. Because like, fantastical is exactly what Metaphor ReFantazio is. It's in the name.
It does. Because it's a more grounded world, despite the fact that these monstrous humans they're referred to are the pinnacle of evil.
Yeah, because I did like that in the opening thing. It's like, this is a different world where there are no humans. I'm like, what?
But there are humans. Yeah. They're just grotesque body.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're all fucked up.
Yeah, good times. The game's great.
It's just like real humans.
Yeah, pretty much.
This game's reviewing really well just because of its ability to replicate the real world for all its grossness. I like that. Big fan.
Yeah, pretty much.
Obviously, you are enjoying it because, duh, it's an Atlus game, and I know you're going to like get all boned up for it. But compared to a game like Persona, which we discussed last week, how it's, you know, Persona but not Persona, are the differences like sitting strong with you? Like, is it something that you are going to see through for the potential 100 of hours that it will
be? Oh yeah, definitely. And I think to just call it a reskinned Persona does the game a disservice also, because it is really so much more than that. Like, obviously the skeleton of it has those Persona qualities in like its menu, its artistic style, its, to a degree, its gameplay and its time-based systems. But the story it's telling is so much greater than that of a Persona story, in my opinion.
Okay,
fantastic. Like, they really have elevated it to what could be the next level.
That's awesome. That's good.
But I think that's all I've been playing. I don't think there's anything else I've been playing.
Well, because here we are talking about, like, you know, the real world being all kinds of poo. The best thing about Silent Hill, which I've still been playing, is, like, it has this dichotomy. It's like, oh, there's this world and there's the other world, and the other world's super poo, and everything's kind of rusty and gross, and there's a dude with a pyramid.
The dangers of burning out your retinas.
Oh, man. So I posted that on Twitter. So I was playing on the portal in bed, and I went to save, and then it just went, bew, this big red light, and like, fuck. And I felt like I literally felt the back of my eyes singe. So I'm like, I'm going to fucking do this again and film it for social media, because nothing happens in real life.
I thought you were in like a tanning bed or something.
No, I was literally playing Silent Hill on the portal, boom, and it felt like a tanning bed, because with my unbearably white skin did get a little sunburnt from just the brightness of the portal. It was crazy. But yes, yeah, so I'm still playing Silent Hill 2, and our review discussion with Fid McAwesome of Original Geek and one of our good friends of mine and host Down Under the Ring. We will be running that probably later this week, if not probably later this week, on the hopes that I get the game finished. So I'm currently at the prison, for those that are playing at home. It's a remake, so it's not really spoilers per se. So we've been playing that, enjoying it. It's feeling a little long in the tooth. Like, I know that within the world of Silent Hill, like the original on PS2, it wasn't as long as this. I know they extended it as part of the remake, but yeah, I've been putting like 11-ish hours into it at this point. I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, how long is this game?
I have for shits and giggles pulled up like a walkthrough that divides up into locations. So there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 locations.
What?
And you're in location 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9. You're at 9.
Oh, that's not so bad. What's the one after it?
The Labyrinth.
Okay. All right, cool. I was curious on whether it broke down into the rooms.
That is technically 4 different locations.
Okay.
There's the labyrinth, da da da, the labyrinth, da da da, then the labyrinth, da da da.
Could.
Spoiler free.
Yeah. Dun, da, da. Yeah, look, I said, I am still really enjoying it. I'm loving the game in and of itself. Bloober Team really did deliver here. You know, what other podcasts have talked about it, and like there's been discussion on socials of like, oh, should we forgive Bloober Team for questioning them? Like, no, everything they made up until this point sucked asshole. And like, congratulations, you did one thing that was better than we expected. We thought you were gonna arse it, and you didn't. You know, it's good. The real key is what's the next thing. Like, are they going to remake another Silent Hill? Because personally, number two was the one that I played the least growing up. I spent a lot of time playing one, a lot of time playing three, and even a lot of time playing four. I quite liked four. Everyone shat on it. I quite liked four. Homecoming, I didn't play that much. Shattered Memories, I never played. Book of Memories, I never played. Whatever all the other ones after that. The ones in the PS3 era were asshole, so I didn't really put too much time into them. But yeah, very good. I'm enjoying it. I hope that like these four other locations, Max, aren't the next, you know, 8 hours or whatever, because there's other things that I'd like to be doing just in general and also playing. Let me have a quick look. So there is other games that we are playing. One of them we can't discuss right now. Let's see what else what is in my list of things that I have played.
Oh, crap. I didn't realize there were so many Silent Hill games. What the fuck?
Oh yeah, there's an ungodly amount of. Oh, and the Book of Memories was the one that we did recently. It was ass.
We've got Silent Hill, Silent Hill 2, Silent Hill 3, Silent Hill 4, The Room, Silent Hill The Arcade, Silent Hill Orphan, Silent Hill Origins, Silent Hill The Escape, Silent Hill Orphan 2, Silent Hill Homecoming, Silent Hill Shattered Memories, Silent Hill Orphan 3, Silent Hill Downpour, the HD Collection, and Book of Memories.
Mm.
And then Silent Hill Ascension, Silent Hill The Short Message, Silent Hill 2.
Oh, The Short Message, that was the one that was, yeah, that was a bit poo.
And then Silent Hill. What the fuck is Silent Hill F? And Silent
Hill. Oh, that's the upcoming one.
Yeah. The more you know. Nailed it. Oh, and I've been playing more Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball's great.
Are you still loving it? Still good?
I'm still loving it. I'm still loving it. Yeah. Oh, and obviously a new Astro Bot level came out. Yep. So my daughter's hit that hard.
So, well, because my son's finally jumped in at both the speedrun levels. He enjoyed it. I didn't realize that the two birds were like each of the bots, because the times that I ran them, I just got them. I was like, sweet. Where like my son ran it and only got one of them. I was like, that's intriguing.
Yep. Got a bit the times.
Yeah. The second level, which is the elephant level, you know, whatever mm-hmm. the elephant level thing name is called. I have seen some incredible videos. So a friend of the show, Real Dave Brown on Instagram, he posted a story of his run.
Did he show you that you can jump off the seal?
He jumped off the seal.
Yeah.
And like it changed everything for me. I was like, are you shitting me? Because here I am going all the way around, and he just like, guess what? You can go this way, and you can dodge almost all the levels by doing the ramp thing with the ice. I was like, fuck.
That's a fucking tight jump, though.
Oh, yeah. Like, you've got to really nail it. And even then, like,
I jump the first corner, land straight on the goo, and then you jump straight to the CL, fucking fling yourself. And then you jump straight off again and just go ramp, 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 and you're almost to the end.
Yeah. So what's your time?
I don't know. I'm like 4 seconds behind world record.
Oh, I'm a
lot. So I'm not even in the top 2,000.
I'm not even close. Maybe like 40 something seconds. I was like, okay.
My friend's son is in top 700 for the first level. He had to rebind his keys so he could use R1 for the dog thrusting.
Hot.
Yeah.
Wait, you can do that?
Yeah.
Oh, with accessibility mode, I suppose. Yeah.
So you just change R2 to R1 because you can spam R1 faster than what the trigger presses.
That's true, especially with that like adaptive trigger. Like, there's a bit more distance, and if you don't have the elite, which you can change the activation, so you distance,
spam the shit out of R1, and you can kind of just boost through the whole level.
Sneaky,
yeah.
But anyway, let's get into the section where we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation. Now, Max, the first story is intriguing to me, mostly because what they're discussing, I've never heard before in my entire life.
So keeping it in-house, there's been little mention of the quote, SIE Live Service Center of Excellence, since Sony acquired Destiny 2 team Bungie a few years ago, but it still sounds like the initiative is going ahead in some form. Bridget O'Neill, a lead figure at Bungie Creative Studios, has shared her team will be joining PlayStation, quote, to build the foundation for a creative team that can support all of PlayStation's live service games, end quote. O'Neill continued, quote, this opportunity to share our experience working on Bungie titles with other studios that are building live service games is so exciting. Live service is hard and comes with a unique set of challenges. So, with PlayStation and Bungie, guys said that so funny.
You said that with so much sass. I'm like, can we confirm if that was delivered with that much sass? Or was she genuinely excited? Or was she being real cunty about it?
So exciting. Live service is hard and comes with a unique set of challenges. So with PlayStation and Bungie working together, we will be able to give a huge jumpstart on development for new games. As they enter the super competitive market, you can tell how fucking keen I am for more live service games in my life. Since purchasing Bungie, the PS5 maker has released Helldivers 2 and Concord into the live service market to very contrasting successes.
Yeah.
It also has Fair Games and Marathon on the way from Haven Studio and Bungie, respectively. In that same period, a multiplayer spin-off of The Last of Us from Naughty Dog was cancelled. Publicly, at least, this is the first we've heard of Sony starting to absorb Bungie staff following a harsh round of layoffs earlier this year. 220 staff members lost their jobs, and a further 155 employees would be integrated into Sony, quote, due to rising costs of development and industry shifts, as well as enduring economic conditions. In the months since, Bungie has committed to releasing Destiny 2 DLC through to 2026, while also working on its upcoming title, Marathon. At the same time of the Live Service Center's announcement back in May of 2022, it was said that Sony wanted to begin learning from Bungie within 3 months of the deal's closure, which happened 2 months later in July. Those learnings may have already started that same year in 2022, but as Helldivers 2 found success and Concord redefined what a video game flop is, it's up in the air how much of an impact Bungie has had so far. In terms of the SIE Live Service Center of Excellence, at least, it sounds like things are finally starting to take shape.
Yeah, and there's a couple extra details in there as well. So with that, so there was the other project that Bungie were working on. It was called Gummy Bears or something. Gummy Bear was this code name. That has also essentially just been picked up by PlayStation and gone, that's ours now. We can't trust you on delivering it, so we're going to bring that. So a big part of those redeployed individuals are presumably working on that. I look at this as Sony essentially, you know, originally when the deal took place, they were like, no, we're still independent, we're owned, but we're supported, we can do whatever we want, blah, 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 which I think is just demonstrative of Bungie's, I wouldn't, like, arrogance isn't the right word. They did sort of have this, self-ego as a company.
I think there was a lot of stuff written into it of, like, if you guys aren't making the money.
But that wasn't communicated to us at the time. It was,
yeah, you're going to be pulled under our umbrella, so to speak.
Yeah, and so since the acquisition, which was way more than it should have been already, from the things that I've consumed, essentially, Bungie have yet to make a dollar. Like, they've made money, obviously, but I mean, like, they are still running in the red. They are absolutely have not made any profit since being purchased. So aside from the initial, the $3 billion, whatever it was, for the acquisition of Bungie, there has been no return on investment since. Which explains why, like, yeah, bunch of layoffs, bunch of redeploy, you can't do this anymore, it's over here. So I guess with the extension here, because, you know, when it came to the Live Service Center of Excellence, which once again, I'd never heard of.
What a wankish name, though.
Yeah, like, yeah, it does a bit wanky. But like, we know that there was originally, like, what, 15 live service games planned. We were informed of a couple, you know, during some conversations at PAX that never saw the light of day, and they will never see the light of day. So everyone's kind of having this idea of Sony's just giving up, and that's kind of true. But it's also, like, not entirely that. Because you and I were having a discussion about this at the pool yesterday. I forget what we said, so you might have to fill in the gaps. What's your thoughts on this? Because obviously you're a bit more Bungie fan than I ever was.
It's cool to see that the people who are losing their jobs over at Bungie are being redeployed elsewhere. Not all of them, but it's good to see that a lot of them are still employed. I think they did overpay for Bungie. I think it's weird to rely on Bungie so heavily to be like, hey, to lead what they're referring to as the Live Service Center of Excellence when a good 50 to 60% of Bungie's releases on their live service platform have been very underwhelming.
Yeah.
Their consistency is not great. So it's interesting that they're relying so heavily on what they're referring to as their expertise.
I don't think they are anymore.
That was their initial intention.
Yeah.
That was their initial intent for that purchase.
I think Bungie were essentially at that table being like, oh man, we can do so much good shit. We've had such an exceptional run. Oh, we're incredible. We're brilliant. And then the second they see it in action or they see the data, they're like, what? Hang on. And now Sony are like, yeah, they are no longer there for their expertise. They are there because they have to be there. Yeah, it's interesting. Interesting. I know I spoke over you there for a second, but I did notice your attention was drawn to your family, so I assumed those were
just... Yeah, and Ali just walked out the door. I just wanted to see if Heather was doing okay.
Anything else you want to add about Bunge?
Nah.
No. All right. Well, let's see. So... Cast the first brick, Max has named this one. There's a strange recurring sentiment within the PlayStation community that Horizon is getting too many games. And it's kind of true. But it's LEGO who came up with the idea of the LEGO Horizon Adventures. So we may recall that Guerrilla and the Danish brick manufacturer previously collaborated on an awesome tall neck, which is on a shelf over there for me. Yours is right behind you. There it is. So this was a few years ago. This sparked an idea at the toy maker, and the rest is history. Quote, we were all fans of Horizon, end quote. Kate Bryant, the project lead on LEGO-branded games, told the Washington Post. Gene Park of the Washington Post, to be specific, I believe. Quote, so we had a direct conversation with Gorilla where we came to the table and said, hey, this tall neck set looks really cool, but do you know what would be even cooler? Are they fucking teenagers? We fully expect for them to go, yeah, that would be cool, and nothing would have come of it, but they matched our enthusiasm. So Gorilla then turned to the UK team Studio Gobo to co-develop the game. Quote, we came from making smaller games and games for children, said the lead game designer, Tone, T-O-N with a squiggly line O, Gonzalez, adding that the Amsterdam first party's expertise had been invaluable. Quote, they bring so much knowledge on how to make something larger than life, end quote. It is believed that Gorilla and Studio Gobo have done an outstanding job. There has been, so this came from Push Square, and they have played the 90 minutes of the LEGO Horizon Adventures, and they genuinely believe it could be one of the best LEGO games ever made. They say it's tremendous fun, and it looks absolutely outstanding. Now, the game has gone gold, so it should be available very soon. Max, what's your history with LEGO titles? And how do you look at it from this way with LEGO going towards them?
I initially said this is not for me.
Yeah.
I've played, like, I own the Harry Potter collection. I own, like, LEGO Lord of the Rings, LEGO The Hobbit. I've done a few of the LEGO games. They're fine. I tried to get Hadley into them when she was playing Paw Patrol heaps.
Yep.
And apparently the LEGO Harry Potter one was too scary. She's a big baby.
She's a small child.
No, big baby. but this... I think this one will be good because obviously it is co-op, like most of the LEGO games. But she absolutely adores the Horizon world in Astro Bot.
Oh, really?
So I think she'll get a kick out of playing it because so every time she does that level, she sees the tall neck, she's like, and then spins on her chair, she's like, points at the Lego over there, and then comes back. She's like, you know, I can make that real world connection. So I think she'll get a kick out of this.
Well, imagine when it's a Lego tall neck, and she's like, that's exactly what we have, Dad.
Yeah, so I think for that reason alone, I'm kind of keen to play it because it'll be something I can do with her.
Yeah, like I'm in a similar vein. Like I know my son will enjoy playing LEGO Horizon Adventures, and I also know that I'll enjoy playing LEGO Horizon Adventures because I do genuinely love the Horizon games. I think they're great. I would argue that, yeah, there might be too many, but at least with the remaster coming up, we were discussing this in the pool as well. Around the motivations for the remake are more, you know, if people pick up the LEGO game, they go, oh, this is actually really kind of fun. Then they see the remake is available. Pardon me, they'll pick it up because the LEGO Adventures is only on PS5, Switch, and PC, I think, maybe? Yes, no, yes.
In the barrel.
Yes. So if it's only on PS5, you know, bring Zero Dawn a PS5 as well and give it a complete doohickey. And what from the images we're seeing and the whether it be from Digital Foundry or just things that are being shared by Gorilla, it's going to be interesting to see if people are excited by the remaster, etc. Should be cool. I desperately want to play this game, like a lot, because it looks cool. But on top of that, and the thing that I think is the most interesting part of this bit of information that's come from the Washington Post is that how does the LEGO system usually work? Is it, you know, the studio, the other studios, whether it be Warner Brothers or, well, actually Warner Brothers, you know, Indiana Jones, Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, etc. Do they approach LEGO and go, hey, can we do this? Or is this, you know, the first time that LEGO's ever reached out directly? Secondly, I didn't realize this until it was pointed out to me. This is the first time that a game has been LEGO-fied. Normally, it's external media. But this is the first time an already existing video game has then been repurposed into a LEGO world.
That's a lie. Fortnite.
Yeah, but that doesn't count because it's whatever
reason. Because it's one of the biggest games ever.
Yeah, but like that came after the Horizons announcement from memory. It was kind of an interesting thing. I don't know. But at least, I'm
going to be argumentative for the case.
Oh, no, absolutely correct. Fucking correct. Please correct me.
I don't know. Is it? When was Lego Horizon?
I feel it was Lego Horizons first, then Lego Fortnite.
Okay, Lego Horizon was announced according to the trailer on the 8th of June.
Okay.
Okay. When the fuck did Lego join Fortnite? It was 7th of December last year.
Ooh, I was so wrong. Ooh, I'll take that. No, that's my bad for repeating what I heard somewhere else going, oh, that sounds accurate. Because I don't think about Fortnite. So when I heard that, I was like, yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, because it's essentially Minecraft in Fortnite, but it's Lego instead of Minecraft block.
But then it's not quite like Lego games are delivered differently.
Technically, it's not a Lego-fied version of a game that exists.
Yeah,
but it's a Lego game.
Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take the L on that one. That's more than fine.
I mean, if you want to be more specific and patent Laura, you'll be fine. But.
No. But yeah, I'm super keen to check it out. With all the hands-on that are happening, I know it was available at a couple of expos that happened over the week in the UK, I believe. There were some hands-on here in Australia. We didn't go. We get invited. So, shock horror. We didn't get invited. We didn't get invited to any of these things. You know why? Because we're simply not cool enough, nor have the numbers to make it work. So, hey, everyone, please help us get more numbers so we can go do it. That'd be amazing. But no, it was a pretty small hands-on. There was a lot of the big guys. I know Player 2, Well Played, Press Start, etc. all went and checked it out. And I'm only incredibly jealous. Hey, Max, apparently there was an email that went around this week about PlayStation Stars.
I didn't get it.
Didn't you?
Yeah, but apparently there's a lot of, it's not in this story, but I'll add it now at the top real quick. Apparently a lot of people worldwide can't use their PlayStation points to claim store credit. But I did it today.
Let me have a look.
Like I put $15 in my wallet due to having 4,000 gold coins.
I'll read jump in the story, Max, and I'll suss out mine. Because I did use some of my credits to buy Bellatrix.
So that's different because you're purchasing a straight up item. You're not putting funds in your wallet.
I do not have access to funds.
Oh, okay.
It is solely digital doohickeys, and I can also get Sonic, and I won't because I'm not that kind of autistic.
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, I can. It's gone. Mine's still there. That sucks to be.
Aw.
So yeah, a quick reminder, you must accept the new terms of service for PlayStation Stars within the app on your phone, otherwise you will cease earning all your rewards. PlayStation Plus members who have an active PS Stars account can earn points on every PlayStation Store purchase, which can be exchanged for digital collectibles and cash rewards. Apparently cash rewards just aren't working at the moment. Also, cash rewards seems to be like a very loaded term because you do not get cash at all. The latter are currently unavailable for some, although it's likely this is a bug. I have it, you don't. Sucks to be you. If you don't accept the new terms of service, however, your membership will be considered cancelled until you do, meaning you'll temporarily cease earning all points. All you need to do is open the PlayStation app on your smartphone, select the Stars logo at the top, and you'll be notified of the new TOS to agree. Once you have completed this, your account will be considered reactivated, and you can continue using your points as per usual. Yeah, no, yeah. I bought a $15 store credit today.
Well, I have
my points were about to expire, so I'm like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, so I got the email that said my points weren't expiring, but they, at least this month they weren't expiring. But, I was like, all right, well, I picked up Bellatro, and then I have enough coins left, so I'm going to just pick up Palworld, because I'm not going to pay for it. But
dude, Bellatro's so good. How do you have so many points, you fuck?
Because I never claim them. I never use them. Like, literally ever.
And not all, I've only ever used them once, and I bought Bellatro.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the entire time I've had PlayStation Stars, this is the first time I've ever claimed anything. So that's probably why I have so many points. And
I also don't check it a lot and claim, the 50 points every month for playing PlayStation Plus game.
Well, because that, like that I don't do because I don't end up playing them. But I do enjoy like getting like little digital trinkets because they're fun. Because, yes, yeah, so, as you're speaking of, like, at the moment, they've just, you know, with Sonic coming out, there's a Venom one. What do we got to do? Play any game. Oh, I can do that. Please hold. Ah, see, and the other challenge we have is a lot of them, especially the Coinbase ones, are like, purchase this. And, you know, due to the nature of our beauty and beautiful scenario that we're in, we're in Perf Games. So we don't get that bump.
Or, yeah, I'm stuck on level 3 stars because I don't purchase it. I have to purchase one more digital game to like level up.
I'm on 4, and I think that's because I've bought my son some games that we didn't have. Yeah. I worked it well. Stars is cool. I still like Stars. This is a bit poo. Yeah, what you gonna do? Next story. Don't you forget about me, says the title. The US Copyright Office has determined that it will not alter existing DMCA rules to allow for the preservation of video games in repositories, hot, and archives across the country. This news comes following a 3-year battle by the Video Game History Foundation to desperately find a path to preservation for games that are in danger of being lost forever. Previously, the organization revealed that around 87% of all games released before 2010 are virtually inaccessible, owing to changes in technology, consumer habits, retail operating models, and the simple passing of time. If we go beyond that and looks at true nostalgia retro gaming, which is technically from PS3 onwards, which is fucking confronting, backwards I should say, we enter a vast world filled with consoles, games, and peripherals from yesteryear, all of which are steadily falling into an abyss due to the lack of official preservation practices. While books, movies, and music and the like were all preserved under DMCA law, video games have never fallen into a legitimate category. In the retort published by the US Copyright Office, which lent on comments made by the Entertainment Software Association, the ESA, it is said that the petition from the VGHF was kicked because they, quote, did not propose a clear requirement to know who the users are or why they want to access a game. Okay. Earlier, the ESA have said, yeah, they want to play it. Enabling a widespread remote access to preserve games with minimal supervision would present a serious risk to an important market. The Video Game History Foundation insists it's not finished with its crusade, but the rules are relatively black and white currently. In an ideal world, a digital repository of archive games, would exist for users to check them out and access their contents through emulation platforms. But it admittedly becomes quite hard to police who is accessing them and when and where. Max, I feel that this might be within an area of your interest more than mine. Not that I care about game preservation, I absolutely do, but very rarely do I go backwards.
I also very rarely go backwards, but there are times where I'm like, hey, I remember this really cool thing that I used to be able to do. I'd love to be able to do it now. And there are, you know, some websites that still will play like old DOS games or stuff like that. Like, they exist, but it would be cool to have like one official spot where I can go browse a library and be like, ooh, I wonder what this is and check it out. Like, I floated the idea of like having the Criterion collection of games. And like, you know, at what point, like, you know, they're saying that enabling widespread remote access to preserve games with minimal supervision would present a serious risk to an important market. They're not marketed anymore. Yeah. That's why they want them available in an archive. They're not going to be sold again. That people aren't, like, no one's, in theory, no one's losing money by having them on there. It's not like we're still buying copies of fucking E.T. from the desert in America. They just, it doesn't happen. Like, I don't see the problem. I'm sure there is some way that we can work it out that this can be legalized. Surely.
So, in terms of that last sentence. Sorry, go ahead.
Like, you know, they say that they did not propose a clear requirement to know who the users are or why they want to access the game. can you not just make it like essentially like an online library where you have a username to log into the software and you borrow the game, and once someone's using it, it can't be used by anyone else. Therefore, it logs who's using it because it's linked to the username of the... Like, surely it would be easy enough to fucking track who's got it and what they're doing. Mm. Like, surely that's not a hard fucking task to do.
Yeah. So, to go off your last sentence about the market, no, that is absolutely true. There is no market. Many of these games aren't being resold. However, with platforms like PlayStation with PlayStation Plus and their premium, with Xbox doing with their backwards compatibility initiatives, and Nintendo doing the same, they are their argument would be, but we might bring it up one day. So anything prior to the
when it, that, and when that happens, it gets removed from that list.
Yeah. So the idea is then like, yeah, but if people have readable access to it, then they won't want to buy when we redistribute it. So that's a set, like that is the angle. I don't agree with it, but yeah, that would be the angle. However, anything prior to the PS1, as an example,
yeah,
free game, absolutely. And like, I appreciate your idea with the Criterion Collection, because to that question, they didn't propose a clear requirement to know who the users are or why they want to access the game. I could ask the same question about many fucking movies. There are ass movies that are made throughout time. Everyone's like, should we preserve all the movies? Yeah, probably. But like, do we have to? No. And the Criterion Collection is a library of titles that are, they hit a point of worthiness and you still have to buy them. Like, it's not free, at least from memory. The Criterion Collection isn't free, but like...
But they tend to digitally remaster them.
Yeah. So like, don't get me wrong. Like, if there's a way for me to play Gizmos and Gadgets again, which was an old DOS game I played in primary school, like, I could play that again, fuck yes. The Incredible
Thinking Machine.
What's that?
The Incredible Thinking Machine.
Yeah, that one too. I would love to play Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, but like the version that I played growing up, which was the weird FMV one. Like, I would play that immediately and often because it was fun. And I'd love to play it with James because he'll learn a whole bunch about geography. And I can't find, and I've been trying to find it, like, you know, copies of it where I shouldn't. And I can't. And it's shitting me. So, like, absolutely, it would be a really good initiative to have a library like this. I have it on disk somewhere, but it doesn't help me. I don't have a disk drive on my computer anymore. So, yeah, I to go, because once again, we had this discussion previously, going off the PAL World patent debacle, what Nintendo have the advantage on is the specificity in the language that they use within that patent. It appears that the Video Game History Foundation have done the same thing, but in the opposite. Their request within the legal documents apparently was vague enough to deliver a no result. So the idea is they go back and they get more specific and they explain the ins and outs and what they're going to do. And because even from what we've read here, they haven't answered how they're going to do it. They want it to be done, but like, how are you going to do it? They go, And like that in and of itself is going to be a problem. But also, give me Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you've heard of pay to win.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard of pay to hear?
What?
Call of Duty Black Ops 6 has dropped, and the latest action-packed installment will support an enhanced headphone mode. This mode uses immersed spatial audio technology to, quote, increase the directional accuracy of sounds in-game, which can be further customized to your head shape. This third-party audio tool and alleged potential advantage can be yours for just $20 US for 5 years. There's even a free trial.
So it's not even a purchase, it's a fucking subscription.
This revelation has caused an initial knee-jerk reaction online, although it's probably worth considering how effective this new tech will ultimately be. IGN dived into the extensive Activision blog post on the subject, and the short version is this. Embody is an audio company that has previously worked on Cyberpunk 2077 and Final Fantasy 14, with its tech integrated to make games more immersive. Black Ops 6 players can boost this enhanced headphone mode by paying for a premium personalized head-related transfer function profile, quote, specifically created for Call of Duty soundscape.
You thought Department of Excellence sounded like a wank.
Activision failed to mention that this service carries a price tag, and with launch now upon us, players are finding out and expressing their concerns.
Now, I thought it was originally weird when Mark Cerny was like, hey, can you send me pictures of your ears? And no one ever did, and for good reason. Because I play in my lounge room, right? I spent an ungodly amount of money on this Atmos setup. The last thing I'm doing is playing games with fucking headphones on or playing for some subscription for my headphones. You do play a lot with your headphones, almost exclusively with your headphones.
Exclusively with headphones, yeah.
Would you pay $20 for 5 years?
Fuck that. No.
Like, per day, that's kind of fuck all.
Yeah, I agree. But I feel like that if Activision made a deal with these people, that it should have been Activision footing the bill, and they're like, hey, this is what we've done. This is the cool new feature that we've got. Like, fuck being like, you can have shit garbage audio that we created, or you can pay some other fucks $20 to hear what you should actually be hearing.
See, that's a very good point. Is that them going, we did a subpar job of our audio? And then again, once again, you know, they just got how many bajillion dollars from Microsoft? Are you telling me they can't fucking fork out for like some headphone shit? Or is this Microsoft going, can you please make as much money in every possible way as you can? Because we bought you for more than we should have. And PlayStation, you know, their hustle extended out the thing. We spent lots of money. We need to make all the money back. Because even the marketing of Black Ops does not mention Xbox fucking anywhere. Or Game Pass anywhere, I should say, specifically. I'm intrigued by the technology as a concept. Like, how does it work? Because, you know, as someone who literally has, you know, mild hearing impairment in my right ear just from being born premature, like, I have one ear that sucks compared to the other, and my hearing's also dead from years of going to concerts. But I would like to I'm curious on how it would go. Like, will it be able to identify that and adjust accordingly? But I'm also not paying $20 to find out. Because I use these headphones. I love these, the Audio-Technica MX-40. MX-40s? What are they? Where's the thing that says what they are? Where are you? The ATH M50Xs. I got the things all backwards. I love the M50Xs. These headphones are incredible. Does it work with these? Is it a universal platform?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay, that's cool then. I might do it. I'm not gonna do it. But like, does it already work with Activision games? Too many questions. I'm not paying any money.
Like, I don't know. I'm
not paying the money,
what's
Max.
What's it called? I just read it out.
You just said it.
I just said it. But what is it called? Embody.
Yeah, because I don't know. All right, let's do a quick Google, Max. Get some facts.
Personalized spatial audio immersed, powered by Embody, Call of Duty Black Ops 6. The truth lies, your ears don't. Get fucked. Have you ever played Chinese Whispers? Okay. So, Universal Profile, available to all players for free. Universal Profile is your entry vector to a deeper level of spatial awareness and accurate 3D sound. Turn on enhanced headphone mode in the sound settings of Black Ops 6 and start playing with any headphone or earbud.
Did they just say it was free?
This is for Mission Immersion. This is their, like, trial.
Oh.
Mission Precision Personalized Profile. Take your tactical hearing to the next level with a personalized profile. Spatial sound customized to your unique physiology. Every sound is balanced with precision in the 3D sound world. Create your personalized profile enhanced headphone mode configuration. Try it for free for 30 days. Then click the Get Immersed Game Pack button to unlock for 5 years with one-time payment of $20 USD. So buy for Steam or buy for Battle.net, and then the fine print is for Xbox Series XS, PlayStation 5, and Microsoft PC store purchase, in-game enhanced headphone mode configuration. So it's an in-game fucking purchase on the PlayStation.
Which means that then it is only used in Call of Duty.
Correct.
On a PC, it's universal, but a console, not so much.
No, it's I don't think they have. Oh shit! And knocked my glass over. I don't think they do it for anything other than Call of Duty.
Cool.
Oh, obviously, they do it for Final Fantasy and Cyberpunk because I fucking read that in the thing.
Yeah, before. But like, yeah, I assume it's a PC.
I don't think they have custom profiles like they do for Call of Duty.
Cool. Well, no, thank you.
Nah,
I'm good.
The truth lies your ears. Fuck off.
All right, quick bits. Microsoft's CEO says more Xbox games will come to PS5. Good. Hours after rumors said porting project was closed. No fucking chance. Anyone that was said they weren't going to do it are dumb. Because Sea of Thieves made a stack of cash. And then there's cash in Pentiment and etc. Call of Duty is going to make a pretty good amount of coin, I assume. Indiana Jones, probably going to make a good bit of coin. They don't have the luxury of money, of, you know, they are being so heavily monitored by Microsoft for their financial processes that they have to make all the money all the time in all the way. I don't know what's next, though. Well, I think the final thing will be Halo. Whenever we get the Master Chief Collection on PlayStation, that's the last. And then everything will be probably day and date. And then Game Pass will just be a universal service rather than, you know, the Xbox will be gone and done at that point. Sonic X Shadow Generations has already surpassed 1 million copies sold. Ooh, that's a lot of tism. And Monster Hunter Wilds is getting a PS5 beta this week. It's available right now.
Preload's available right now. It goes live at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
You download that bitch?
Already done.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Literally, did you not see the chat earlier? So,
oh, yeah, I saw.
So Paul James is like, hey, it's available for preloaded. And I'm like, where is it? Can't find it. Never mind. Found it. Oh, it's done.
I love our internet sometimes. It's fantastic.
All in the space of like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Upcoming game specs?
I don't know. Dragon Age reviews come out at 2 a.m. according to a bunch of people on fucking Twitter.
Well, we don't know. We didn't ask. Like, we heard rumblings that, like, no one was getting codes, and it's kind of what I've seen pretty consistently, at least within here in, within Australia. And they've prioritized, like, streamers and stuff rather than I said, it's interesting. Like, we're technically content creators, but we work that line between, like, new media and old media.
Sometimes you get screwed by that line between...
Yeah, absolutely. But I think now that times have transitioned in, you know, new media, we were ahead of the curve in some ways, but we had none of the skills and or success to make it viable. So we're here, somewhere stuck in the butt end of,
now,
of new media, new old.
I know that we normally only announce PlayStation games, so there are a few big games that are just of interest this week.
Yeah, sure, why not?
All right, we have Life is Strange Double Exposure coming to PlayStation 5 October 29th.
Ooh, okay.
Monster High Skull Time Secrets PS5 October 29th. Post Trauma PS5 October 29th.
Hey, I'm Post Trauma. Hey, I could
Red Dead Redemption is coming to PC.
It on is. 29th. That's sick.
The Pokemon trading card game Pocket, the game that they fucking showed off like a year ago, coming to phones, drops on the 30th of October.
Hang on, so. Because I've got the digital trading card game on my computer because whenever my son buys packs, we claim the codes.
Yeah, no, different thing, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we have Clock Tower Rewind, PS5, PS4, October 31st.
I love how you gave that more enthusiasm than that woman who was genuinely enthused about her new role.
Oh, I'm so enthused. Dragon Age The Veilguard, PS5, coming October 31st. Horizon Zero Dawn Remastered, PS5, coming October 31st, following the trend of releasing at the same time as other banger titles, or potential banger titles.
Yeah.
Shadows of the Damned Hell Remastered, PS5, PS4, coming October 31st. Slime in 3K, Rise Against the Despo, PS5, PS4, coming October 31st. We have Albatross, coming out PS5, November 1st. Famagia, PS5, November 1st. And that's it.
Oh, Famagia. That was the one that caught my interest because it had farm in the name, which implies that it might be a farming game.
Yeah, but it's made by the creator of the anime Fairy Tale that I've got tattooed on my back, and now you're instantly uninterested.
Yeah, I, you know, see, once again, going to the pool. I totally forgot about your back tattoo because I had never seen your arm tattoos. And then you were swimming, and you were swimming with your kid. I was like, "What the fuck is on his max?" Oh yeah, it's the fairy tale tattoo. That weep. And then I forgot about it all over again until just now. Okay. No, well, for me, I would assume the one that has my most interest is probably Horizon Remaster. Yeah. Dragon Age. I played Origins. Excuse me. Back in the day.
Origins and 2, and I never really got into Inquisition.
Yeah, so this one. Former host.
Follow.
Yeah, former host of For the Players alongside myself, Josh Saunders, adored Inquisition, like, to an nth degree. So, I imagine him being intrigued in the Veil Guard. After seeing that trailer at the last day to play, Veil Guard looks like the most generic ass fantasy ship I've ever seen in my life.
I can't believe Red Dead Redemption's finally coming to PC.
It only came out on PS3. In 360. It got ported to next gen recently. Semi-recently. It's in my wish list because I check it out. Oh, speaking of fucking wish list, have you dicked about with the Welcome Hub yet? On your PlayStation?
No, not at all.
Oh. One of the first
mine's got like the most generic shit. It's like, hey, your friends are playing this. You have this much free storage space on your hard drive.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. Thanks for that. I needed to know that.
Yeah, so mine is trophies. Storage space, because my storage space is always fucked. Battery levels. Deals in the store. Wish lists. And that's the other thing. Because, like, I don't play online enough to care whether my friends are online or not. I don't have the messages open because no one fucking messages me. The only messages I get is the group chat being like, hey, everyone's going to go play a game. None of us play games together anymore. Well, at least I don't.
We've been playing fucking GTA heaps.
Don't tempt me.
We've been playing GTA Online heaps.
I know you guys were way further than me and have a lot more dollary dues, but like...
I'm so far behind the other guys because they play more often than what I do, but like... I have fun. Like, they'll do online races. They got all their fucking custom cars. I'll just use like a stock car and be like, you know what? I know I'm not going to win this race, but I'm going to make it my last mission to make sure you don't win either.
Well, like, for me, like, I quite enjoyed the role-playing. Like, I never got into the GTA role-play of it all. Actually, I'm going to write this fucking down because this isn't a good timestamp. So I'm going to go about there. Yeah, so I quite like the role-play of GTA in terms of, you know, having like the bikey club, and then I would enjoy doing the bikey things, you know, like that was the fun for me.
Well, but at the moment, you have acid vans.
What? We can sell acid in vans?
Yeah.
Sick. Well, it's been so while, it's been a long time since I've played it. And like, yeah, so I enjoyed those aspects of it, like doing the heists. And I know, you know, they don't really get done as much anymore because the heists were like the beginning of the fucking online. It's now 11 years later. Dame Duty Dench, good friend of the show, Duty. Well, if it isn't the hottest podcast, the hottest podcast host I know. Oh, you don't know that many. Good to see you, my friend. Yeah, so like those little things, because I never did all of the heists.
Oh, you should, because you get bonus. You get like a bonus 5 mil for, or 1 mil or something for doing all the heists.
Yeah, because I never did them with you.
Mm.
And we didn't
even. I don't think I've even done them all.
So yeah, like that was the thing. That's the stuff that I'd want to go do. And then the world's always full of wangs. You know, I would like I remember I used to try like push, like get the world to put, you know, quickly resetting the session.
You can just make closed friend lobbies.
Oh, because apparently like a private lobby, you can't do all the in-world stuff. Like with all the,
yeah.
All the, that was the problem. It's like, I wanted to do the bikey stuff, and it's like, well, you can't do it in a private lobby because you need to have your shit kicked in by everybody else. I'm like, no, thank you. And there's a way to spoof it, apparently, but I was too lazy to work it out.
Love a good spoof.
Yeah. Once again, going back to our first topic, I'm like, oh, I don't spoof shit. But, yeah, GTA Online is fun. And I... Actually, it is about that time, Max. Because there's one of those things...
It's almost Christmas. So
it is always Christmas. Yeah. You and I consistently pull out GTA around Christmas.
It's funny, because when I got on with the boys the other night, they're like, what the fuck is that gun? I'm like, oh, it's my snowball launcher. They're like, what the fuck is a snowball launcher? I'm like, I don't know. I got it for logging in Christmas in like 2012. I was like, I think it was in like 2021 that if you logged in over Christmas, New Year's, you'd get a snowball launcher.
Yeah, because I'm only ever used to playing GTA Online with snow.
Yeah.
Because for whatever reason, I get bored of all the games that I have, and I have fucking hundreds of them, and I end up playing GTA over the Christmas break. I've done it every year for the last like 5 years.
It's just good fun. I've been having fun. We just, you know, they booted up. We did some fucking bullshit race. It took us like 35 minutes, and it was essentially a fucking motorbike obstacle course. We had to drive up bullshit crap and like get to the top of buildings, and it was fucked. I won because like I had the most patience out of all of them to actually do the fucking stupid thing. But yeah, it was fucked.
Oh, and apparently I said host instead of hosts. So
that's right, we all knew you were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely for me.
Yeah, that's good fun.
Yeah,
I think GTA is the one game that always stays installed. My console.
I've never
in case.
Well, I've never uninstalled it. Actually, no, I lie. It is uninstalled currently. But there are certain games that I never uninstall, and mostly because of my kid. Half of my PS5 is just shit my kid will want to play at some point. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't need to have all these Hello Neighbor games on there, but he's notorious for not playing a game for months and then going, oh, I'm going to play this game. I'm like, shit. I just uninstalled it. What's that?
Not that it takes long to
reinstall. No, it's more about that I have to delete something else to re-bring in the storage. Like I've got, you know.
Do you have an M4, M2 in your...
Yeah, I got all my PS4 games are on an external, and I got two M.2s. But because we've got a couple different games that we're reviewing any given time, like that fills it up immediately, plus all the nonsense my kid wants to play. And I'm also like Baldur's Gate. I haven't played in months, but I also don't want to delete it because I kind of want to go at it again.
I just uninstalled Baldur's Gate from my PC to fit fucking Call of Duty on.
Jesus,
like 250 gig download for Baldur's Gate because of all the mods that I play with.
Duty in the chat jumps in and goes, "God of War Ragnarok is on the review list too." Yeah, 2025 video. That makes sense. It's pretty back end of the year. But especially with the PC port, which looks spectacular, which we did get a review code for, and I have dicked about it a little bit. I might just play God of War again over the break. That might be my thing.
You know what I actually reinstalled that I'm keen to dive back into just for like quick bits and bobs?
Yeah.
It's where the fuck did they go?
It's a cool game.
Where the fuck did they go? I've lost my PlayStation section in my Steam list. That roguelite.
Returnal.
Returnal, yeah.
I did think about bringing up Returnal again the other day, actually. Mostly because didn't they kind of jigger it a little bit so it's not so kicky in the dick?
Maybe.
No? Because, like, I never got past the third area and it fucked me to tears because I did really want to see it through. But then I just sucked too hard at it.
Why is it not in my list? What the fuck?
Whoa! Duty, and it's again in the chat, jumps in and goes, best position game besides Croc. Croc is trash. My apologies.
Yeah, and it's coming fucking PC for some reason.
Look, I'm more like, if this new Croc remake does not have tank controls, then I'm willing to admit that Croc is fantastic. Like, Croc will be okay. Because the thing that I hated about that game is tank controls. Tank controls on a platformer should not be a thing. It is the worst fucking way to play the game. The game itself is fine. That one thing is ass. If this remake does not have it, I am in. They also mentioned the remake of Soul Reaver. I'm fucking in. I would love to play that game. But anyways, Max, you've got to get to work.
I want to get in early.
So we should shut up and get out of here.
All right, everybody. This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning on PlayStation services. Fucking Jesus Christ.
Well, that would be cool.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Monday morning on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopcultures so we can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this position pod. If you're listening to us on podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Which is on YouTube. Be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist, as well as our merchandise store, popculturist.com/shop, where you buy shirts, other assorted shit without logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.